It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. So check out my lip
gloss. I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson. I got that sunshine
in my pocket. Got that good morning, everyone. And I'm David Gal, the boss. We've got Carla Dawson next to me. And Bob Golic joins us here. So it's the boss, the gloss, and Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's a good one. It's
great to be back
with you too.
Back on Radio Row. Yes, today, well, when you think about it, we've got Bob Golic here. I'm sitting here. It's a Carla sandwich, right? She's in the heart of it all.
Yeah, and she's gone kind of nondescript today. Yesterday
she had
the cardigan with the spikes on it.
Yes.
Raider Nation. And, but today, look, Bob.
Look at those shoes.
I got spikes all over those shoes. I got to rep my Raider Nation no matter.
Breathtaking.
But tomorrow.
Don't walk too close to her.
Here's a reveal. My outfit tomorrow will give you my Super Bowl pick.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
My underwear will give you my Super Bowl pick.
He's got the tiger stripes.
tiger
stripe pants, underwear.
I wasn't going for that.
If the shoe fits.
Damn, I was going
to
go with the Rams, too.
I'm going to get rid of the visual. This is early. We just got to keep it clean.
I know.
We will do our best.
I'm 3 hours later. I'm in the East Coast time.
Okay, so you're ready to roll.
Yeah, it's lunch.
Underwear and all. Doesn't matter. Yep. You're ready to get
He's been here for
all.
Hours waiting for us to get started.
That's right.
Well, we're going to get started with a great show because coming up in the next segment, we're going to get Sean Alexander. We've got a great lineup of guests. Radio Row's electric that way. Sean Alexander will join us. And, of course, he had a great career as a running back for the Seahawks. And it'll be fun to visit with him about all things Seahawks, including the fate of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see with Russell. I mean, he was Mahomes before Mahomes was Mahomes.
Amen.
And so he was the guy that everybody wanted to. But, again, he's the guy. Isn't he the one that's like 5'11"?
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
He's more Baker Mayfield.
He was Baker Mayfield before Baker Mayfield. He was everybody before everybody.
Right. It's true.
He has tiger striped underwear, too, I've heard.
You wish, you hope.
Yeah, well, you know, I hate to be the only one.
Well, he'll be here momentarily, and we can find out one way or the other.
Okay. Let's ask about things. Let's not talk about the underwear.
All right. This is the boss and the gloss and Bob hitting you from Radio Row. We'll be right back with Sean Alexander. Stay with us on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Casting live from Radio Row and lots of action. We're going to have Sean Alexander join us in just a minute. I will say, because we've got Bob Golic here, longstanding career with the Browns. You follow the Browns. You're in Cleveland. And we talked about Baker Mayfield yesterday. One of the intriguing questions to me is the Browns have this decision looming. Assuming they don't get an Aaron Rodgers, what do you do with Baker Mayfield? His rookie contract's going to end. Do you sign him to the big agreement? Do you double down on Baker Mayfield? Is that something you think the Browns should do?
Barring any big moves like Aaron Rodgers, I think they do. Yeah. I've always been a big proponent for Baker, just maybe because I'm a contrarian, and I just hate that people look at him and say, you know, he's only 6 foot tall, he's too short. I said, well, he won the Heisman Trophy playing behind offensive linemen the same size as the NFL,
right,
and playing against defensive guys that are the same size in the NFL. So, I mean, obviously he knows how to play at 6 foot tall against next to big people. Plus, we were talking about Russell Wilson, who's 5'11". I mean, it can be done.
So's Baker, just to be clear.
Oh, he's 5'11"?
You know, you always grow on the roster a good inch or two.
You think Baker's rounding up with his height?
I do.
Okay.
Why did they round me down? I was like 6'3", and they kept putting, and they would literally put 6 6 feet 2 inches and 5/8.
They wanted you to be beefier. You know, to appear beefier.
Squatter.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, well, I like your word better.
Bob's a beefcake.
Beefcake Bob.
When I was a kid, my mom would take me to get pants for my little Catholic school. And she said, they'd say, what size do you need? And she goes, 28 Husky.
I'm going. It sounds like a play.
She said, 28 Husky. 28 Husky. Husky, Husky. Omaha. Husky. Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, it just strikes me with the Browns. What's hard is that Baker's been inconsistent. There have been stretches and flashes that are exciting. And
especially
then,
in big moments and in the red zone.
But I like a guy that well, see, it's the old guy coming out of me. I like a guy who plays hurt. But his playing hurt.
Old school.
Yeah,
but fair.
But playing hurt, I think, maybe hurts the team.
Right.
You know, there's that balance there that you got to find. And at quarterback, I think he's good enough. I don't think he's a great guy yet, a great player yet. But I think he's somebody that is good enough to take over and to be the, you know, to be the guys that are, you know, be the guy.
To be the face of the franchise.
To be the face of the franchise. I mean, he's on all these commercials and stuff all the time. But he's
more commercials than interceptions. But that's close.
I didn't even know that was a stat. Is that a prop bet?
It might be a prop bet.
It might be a prop bet.
We need to tell Trey Wingo about
that.
Yeah, but need to add that.
But I like the guy. I like the way he throws. When receivers are catching, he's had a lot of guys drop the ball. I mean, he hits them in a bad spot right in the hands. Even OBJ. Yeah. Was dropping him, and I'm thinking, Baker, throw an impossible catch so OBJ can come up one-handed and do that. But you know, but there's also those times where he overthrows a lot.
He forces things.
He does force things.
And you know what? What gives me cause to pause, and David knows this about Baker for me, is that you know he has succeeded from not being recruited by UT, chip on his shoulder, goes to Texas Tech, has a thing with Kingsbury, chip on his shoulder, goes to Oklahoma, chip on his shoulder. It's going to show Kingsbury, you know, ends up having obviously this storied career, number one in the draft, Heisman winning. Now he's at the NFL, chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's going to bring the dog pound out of this. And I think, you know what? Everyone's motivated by different things, and I think that's a great thing to be motivated by.
Yeah.
And then there is, I've got to up my game as well.
Yeah.
I've got to figure out why am I throwing a massive amount of interceptions in the red zone. So chip on the shoulder goes so far.
Well,
you can rally your people, but then come on.
I mean, I'm obviously a homer, and so, you know, being there.
Fair.
I mean, do you think they should sign him? Do you guys think they should re-sign him, give him the big contract? Or
I would love to stretch out that decision. I'd love to see one more year with Baker.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to do that. There's this notion that you have to double down now. But I would love
really
to see a little bit more.
You know,
Jones waited, but
the fear is this, though. In Cleveland, when they came back, when the Browns came back, since then we've had like 28 different starting quarterbacks.
Well, I know.
Right.
I mean,
it's so hard.
And head coaches.
It's a joke. I mean, it's almost laughable if you're not a Browns fan.
They threw everything but the Freddie Kitchen sink in there, right?
Well said.
Seriously.
But, I mean, it feels like, even though we've had them for a few years now, it feels like, oh, my God, we're going to get back into that again.
Yep.
We're going to draft somebody, number 22. I mean, it seemed like everybody we drafted at number 22, like Brady Quinn and all these other people.
Tough to restart.
Oh, my God. It really is.
I'll tell you.
What about franchise tagging him?
Well, yes. So
they're not ready to make a decision.
Well, they can drag it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the answer if they can. And I mean, the Cowboys did that with Prescott, although Jerry Jones was trying to sign him. So I don't. It wasn't that the Cowboys were reluctant to do it. I think with the Browns, it'd be great to get another look at him another year. But Tom, you know what's really interesting is if you look at that Baker Mayfield draft class, 2018 draft class, there were
Darnold.
Well, yeah. Mayfield 1, Darnold 3, Josh Allen number 7, Josh Rosen number 10 overall.
Oh, God.
And then at the very end of that draft, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was 32.
He was number 32.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was a Josh Allen proponent. I mean, I kept looking at him and saying,
this is a big reveal. True confessions.
Well, yeah, look, it means anything. But he was, I mean, there was a great group of guys to pick from.
Yep.
You know, as with the class with Wentz and all that, I mean, there was just a lot of good people. Is this going to be another 1983? you know, with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino and all those guys. And, you know, the only one that's really standing, well, not only one, but Josh Allen obviously took things very far with the Buffalo.
Well, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson has been an MVP in the league, so those two stand out.
And the difference between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield is Josh Allen, every season, has gotten better and better and better, and I don't see that with Baker Mayfield at all.
But I don't know that he has a consistent team. I think.
Well, that's fair.
Or coaching, right?
Or coaching.
Until recently.
Yeah,
yes.
we've been trying a lot of different receivers with him, and you know, it's like Higgins and Jarvis Landry, and then OBJ comes in, and there's all, and then people get hurt, and then you got to bring some guy in from the practice squad. So he hasn't had, but again, that's not an
excuse. Nobody has consistency.
I was going to say, it's not
an
excuse because there isn't, you know, nobody has that. Yeah. You've got to learn to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, then what good are you to us?
Right.
Okay, going back to that class, it's Josh Rosen we might write off now, but Sam Darnold, taking number 3 overall out of USC, your alma mater.
Ooh.
Is Darnold's, what is his outlook today? Is he somebody?
Career backup.
A career backup. Yeah.
I don't think he has. He was so fantastic at USC. He was steely-nerved. Never smiled, never threw a helmet. Just, I mean, if you saw what he did in the Rose Bowl, I can't remember what year that was. It was against Penn State. Just roared back.
Yep.
And with just unflappable, unflappable. So he's got that great leadership. But he needs good coaching because he wasn't accurate even at USC, and that was his fault. Like, he could do so much, and he was a leader, and he sees the field well and distributes all that, but he really needs to work on his accuracy, and he has not had the coaches in New York, certainly, and definitely not in Carolina, and they're going to move on from him for sure.
Well, joining us on set now is Sean Alexander, the longstanding standout running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Sean, welcome to the show. You're on with David, Carla, and Bob.
How you all doing?
Doing
morning,
good.
Sean,
yeah,
good to see you.
Yeah, this is a great morning.
You look all perky. He's
here.
All perky.
Yeah,
this morning.
Yeah.
Man, there's some dragging people around here, but you're not one of them.
Yeah, I've been with some guys here on Radio Row. First, I haven't been on Radio Row in like 10 years, but I've saw Solomon Wilcox and Anthony Munoz, and they were reminding me that they did my high school games back in 1994, 95.
Oh, that's why you're looking
so
young.
Crazy.
You're getting all the love for being young.
Yeah, so it's
and
just
everything.
Been fun. We've been having a good time
talking.
Which
means I played with Anthony. I played against Anthony, so that means I'm old, too.
Yes.
That means you're less young.
I'm less young?
That means
I didn't even know that was a
or
thing.
Or legendary.
I
think that's how we use the word for it.
Nice.
We call you legendary.
Man, I like this guy.
Sean looks a lot younger than you. You do, though.
He does.
Yeah, younger than
well, I'm sure if you grew a beard, it would be gray.
Yeah.
Blonde.
I'm going for the platinum look.
That's so good.
God, how are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm actually feeling great. You know, body's been healthy. My wife and I, we just had baby number 12.
I got you at 10, and I couldn't wait to ask you about this. You stuck in 2 more?
We had 2 more, yes.
Are you Catholic, Sean?
No, everybody just says I'm just in love. No.
You
he can't help himself.
Yeah.
Was she in on this with you? I mean, or was this like, oh, my God.
I think it takes 2. I'm not sure.
Well, I know, but, you know, it's like, oh, my God, it's another one.
Yeah.
I mean, did she want that many? I mean, did you guys talk beforehand?
Oh, no, we've been cracking jokes because I'd be like, sweetie, I swear that you've been beating me up in my sleep because, you know, I didn't even know that we could ever have back-to-back kids like that. So she's definitely wanted a lot of kids.
Okay, what's the age range, Sean?
The oldest is 18, so she'll be going off to college next year.
You have an 18-year-old?
Yes.
Good God.
She was born during one of our games, so back in 03. I was late. I came out late to the game, and they were like, "Heaven has come to Seattle." That's what we named her. So,
So
that was really special. So Heaven's the oldest, and she'll go off to college next year. So for oldest 3 are girls, 18, 16, and 14. Then the boys come. They're 12 and then 10. And then you can tell when I retire. So we have a 10-year-old, then 9, then 8. Those are girls.
Oh, that's a tight window.
Yeah,
right 10, there.
9, 8. Yes. It's so real. You know what I mean?
There's got to be a great thing with I'm not to interrupt, but who's the youngest? How far does it go?
6 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh,
so 6, 4, 3, 2, goodness. And then 6 months.
I wish this was an audio because I want people to see me just bowing down to you and your bride. That is
because
unreal.
She's an amazing woman. She is.
When you have kids, you have them usually in a range where you get through the diaper stage within a couple of years of each other, or you get through puberty in a couple of years of each other. I mean, you've got to go from diapers to
puberty.
College.
You're in all stages at all times.
Oh, yeah. All stages
all
at all times.
Always on. Always on, yeah. Yeah, no, no. So, you know, the three oldest are girls, and so just, you know, and I was with my brother. So I had four older brothers, and so it was all guys. And so, like, I'm, like, looking at them, like, why are y'all so moody today? Like, what in the world's going on?
Oh, it just happens to us. Estrogen is a funny thing.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. And so my wife's like, would you just give them a break? I was like, oh, you're on their side. Okay. All right. So I didn't know this was how this was going to work. All right. So, but it's amazing. You know, the boys were just like, take us with you.
Don't leave us.
Yeah. Sean Alexander joining us here on set. Of course, Sean, a three-time Pro Bowler, NFL MVP. Would love to ask you a little football question here about the Seahawks.
Yeah.
What's the state of the Seahawks now? Russell Wilson, will he stay? Will he go? What do you think the outlook of the team is?
You know what? Seattle with Russell just did just an amazing job for 10 years. Just dominant football. So proud of them. You know,
and Legion of Boom.
I would come in and Pete Carroll and John and you know, Russ, they'd all be like Bobby Wagner. They'd be like, man, we just left off what you did. You know, when I got to Seattle, we had three winning seasons. In 25 years, you know what I mean? And so then I leave, and we've won the division 5 years in a row, went to the Super Bowl. We've almost been there back-to-back years, you know? So it was like, yeah, we leave, and it's just, like, wonderful. And
you were the setup man. You're the launch
pad. That's it. John the Baptist, you know?
That's right.
Were you in the King Dome when you started?
No, they blew up the King Dome.
They blew it up.
We played at Husky Stadium for 2 years and then came into the field.
Yeah.
It was amazing. A fitting ending for the King Dome.
Yeah.
I hated that place.
Yeah, it was uniquely weird. But they were loud, but now we taught them the cheer for winning, and it was a cool transition. So to watch that and then watch Pete Carroll and Russell and all them come in there and just take it to another level, it was exciting. And they're like at that place, just like where it was when I left Seattle. They got to just decide, are they gonna blow it all up? Are they going to do like the Rams, sell the farm, and bring in all the people around Bobby and Russell for them to have a legitimate shot to win it, or they got to blow the whole thing up? It's one of the two. They just have enough talent to barely be competitive.
Right,
they don't have enough to go be great, and so they got to just make that decision.
And do you think with all the noise last year with, you know, that sneaky leaked these are the teams I would play for from Russell Wilson, I don't know if his agent leaked it or whatever, is that salvageable?
It is. I mean, Russell doesn't want to leave. He's, you know, all of us are the same way. When you become the face of the franchise, you don't really want to leave the franchise that you've helped build. What you want to do is you want to just kind of remind them, like, man, like I am that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still special. Like, let's go get one more. And so he doesn't want to leave. But at the same time, you know, I know Russell. He loves to win. And that's how I felt when I left and seeing the Seahawks go 3-13, 2-14, or, you know, something like that would have killed me. You know what I mean? And so I wouldn't be able to go through just beat every week. So that's where Russell is. He's like, man, I don't want to leave, but I don't want us to go through and just be getting beat up. He's too much of a winner.
Mediocre is not fun.
That's right, especially after you know how good the winning feels, you know.
Right.
And so
and there's a legacy factor there too. And you don't like to say that because it sounds egotistical, but to a certain extent. But when you've had a great career, You don't want to go out with a whimper.
Yep.
You'd like to go out making some noise.
Sure. That's right. Yeah, John Elway, you know what I mean? They know how to leave at Peyton Manning. They've all left, like, man. Winning.
Even before him, Johnny Unitas going out to, where did he go to, the Chargers or something? Johnny Unitas?
I think he went out to
the Rams or the Chargers, and everybody goes, what the hell?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. So.
Yeah. To the Chargers, Namath, to the Rams.
Joe Montana ending with the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Mm-hmm.
So, Sean, what brings you to Radio Row?
Man, so I'm actually part of a big thing that we're doing is we're throwing a party with Cafe Momentum Friday night. And Cafe Momentum is it's just an amazing group. They're an organization that was started by Chad Hauser, this award-winning chef. He did a cooking class in the juvenile system, and at the cooking class, he put them in a contest with some culinary students in Dallas, and one of the kids in the juvenile system won. He's all excited. He runs and jumps on there. Chef, I want to be a chef just like you. Where should I go? Taco Bell or Wendy's? And he realized, you know, through that whole situation, that he had looked at kids the wrong way. He thought these kids were a bunch of thugs that wanted to be criminals. And he said, nah, man, like they just needed people around them that loved them and could point them in the right direction. And then he also, knowing with the Taco Bell Wendy's thing, that they just didn't have a course of direction. And so he changed his restaurant to a year-paid internship for kids in the juvenile system.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They come in. If they get in any kind of trouble, they have two choices, either go through juvie or come work in for his restaurant. And they can still live at their house, but it's paid internships. So they get a little money for their family, and he put the right ecosystem around them. Social workers, psychologists, tutors, after-school people, development people.
A support system.
And you're seeing, he put the aunties and uncles that everybody needs in their life around them. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing their recidivism is 15%. So most things is like 50%. You go to gym, 50% of kids are going to go back. It's 15% there.
Wow.
But that's the bare minimum. The 85% of the kids that are not going back, they're now college graduates. They're entrepreneurs. Yeah. They're working at the hospital. They've got really good jobs.
And they're not just learning information.
That's
they're learning something specific, which makes it more personal for
them. That's right.
Real-life skills. That's fantastic. Sean, thank you. That's great work.
So let me tell you.
Yes.
So the goal is to put one in every NFL city.
I was going to say, where is
Love
Capital
that.
So it's in Dallas. We just broke third in Pittsburgh and Nashville. We're going to announce tomorrow that L.A. is the fourth city.
Okay.
So we're super excited about that. But all 32 cities, we're needing people that have currency and people that want to come be the ecosystem for those kids.
I'm in Cleveland, and I'm always hungry.
That's it. So you're going to donate.
I'll be the one correcting their tests.
Yeah, man.
This is a Chateaubriand.
All of it's needed, man. Everybody needs the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the greatest thing is everybody needs family.
Well, that's great work, and I really appreciate your coming by and joining us here on set today.
Yeah.
Sean
Alexander.
Sean, we'll see you, and you'll have 13.
Oh, don't say that. I don't know if I'm ready.
We'll be right back here on Radio Row with the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from Radio Row and joined now on set by the Hall of Fame cornerback, Mel Renfroe, who had an outstanding career with the Dallas Cowboys, of course, and the NFL interception leader in 1969. Mel, welcome to the set. You're on with David, Carla, and Bob.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So great to have you. Now, I understand you're here celebrating or supporting Pork Rind Appreciation Day this weekend.
Pork Rind Appreciation Day. Mike Ditka, Gridiron Grades Assistance Fund. And the Super Bowl, of course.
And the Super Bowl. Look at those rings on his fingers.
I know. You come with bling, Mel. Those are hard-earned and awesome.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. Beautiful.
Took a long time, but I love them.
Yeah. Well, the Gridiron Greats, too, not just to gloss over. I mean, it's a fantastic organization that Ditka has. As a matter of fact, my brother Mike, I think, is running the, Scotch and Cigars tonight.
Yeah.
So he's doing that because Ditka's not in town or not here yet. But what a great, looking to help out all the older players as we get older.
Yeah. I've known Mike forever. I mean, mm-hmm. even before I was playing the game, I watched him with the Bears and great tough player and had the privilege of playing with him in Pro Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Got the privilege of playing under him. He's a coach for the Dallas Cowboys. So Mike and I go back a long ways, and he's just got a big heart. And, when he created the assistance fund and asked me to be a part of it, no doubt that I would help. And he's just done a great job in trying to take care of those guys that, didn't make the money that the guys make these days. And they're having physical problems and emotional problems, and these funds really help out.
Yeah, there's a spectrum of people. Even when we didn't make a lot of money, there's still a spectrum of people who are okay, and then there's the other end where people are struggling. Some of the players are struggling.
You're You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance and by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Joining us on set, want to ask you about today's Cowboys. People have compared Trayvon Diggs to you for another reason, that he has had a great season with a lot of interceptions. What do you see in Trayvon Diggs?
Well, I see he's a good cover guy.
Yep.
I mean, excellent feet, excellent recognition, excellent you key and you know what's going on. You read your quarterback, you read a lot of stuff, which enables him to get to the ball quickly. And I think he's only going to get better. You know, I think he can get a little tougher. But, you know, as long as he's intercepting passes and stopping plays, he's doing a good job, a great job.
Were you guys allowed to be more physical out there, you know, playing corner than the guys are now? Obviously, rules have changed over the years that you really can't. You can't bother those wide receivers too much.
Well, it's up to the individual. You know, I was a hard hitter, but I was a clean hitter. You know, I didn't know dirty shots to the head or knees or anything like that. But I got their attention. You know, when I took them down, and they respected me for that.
Hall of Famer Mel Renfro, I got one more question for you. I'd love to ask you, what Dallas Cowboy do you think deserves to next be in the Hall of Fame?
You know, I wish I followed them closer than I do. We have one coming up.
Well, Darren Woodson's been a consideration in a name. He obviously was a great safety for the Cowboys for a long time. Do you think he's worthy of consideration?
Should be. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he did a great job for so many years. And just tough nose, hard hitting, always there. And he deserves to be in there. Yep. And hopefully he one day gets in there.
Well, Mel Renfro, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
Thank
my pleasure.
You,
great
thank
to have
you.
You.
With
you
everything.
Certainly welcome. Thank you.
Hall of Famer Mel Renfro, he's also in the Cowboys Ring of Honor. You can see his name up there around in that stadium in Jerry World. It's so great to have you here.
Don't forget to celebrate Pork Rind Appreciation Day.
Well, right.
Coming up.
I know you eat a lot of pork rinds.
Breakfast of champions.
Breakfast of champions.
They are addicting.
So the Cowboys... It's actually fun right now. They've got somebody who's pretty strong on that defensive side of the ball. They've drafted rookie Micah Parsons, has had an outstanding year. Oh, but we're going to talk about another outstanding player.
Speaking
I believe.
Speaking of outstanding.
Shuffling over
he
here,
is
right?
Here. The man, the myth, the legend.
We got the great Icky Shuffle here.
He wasn't so tough.
Watch your mouth, boy. Watch your mouth now. Watch your mouth.
I tell you what, Icky, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, doing good.
Good.
Walked into my restaurant one time up in Cleveland, and I'm just going, oh, my God, he's still smiling, still having fun. It was just wonderful.
Oh,
you look great.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man. Really do.
Icky Woods, the longstanding great running back for the Bengals, who introduced the Icky Shuffle to the football world. It was fantastic. And your Bengals are back here. They've made it.
Man.
Because
yeah,
you got
man.
To be the honorary captain
I
for the
did,
AFC
I
title
did.
Game. That's
I
why
got,
they're here.
Yeah, I got to present the trophy to Mike Brown, you know, the Lamar Hunt trophy, man. It was unbelievable. Nobody in their wildest dreams thought my boys was going to be here, man. I didn't even think they were going to be here. You know, I thought they were a year or two away from being here in the big game, and they surprised me this year, but once we got in the playoffs, man, and once Joe Burrow started, you know, to feel himself again and being able to run coming off that knee injury, man, I think he's up for comeback player of the year, actually.
Sure.
This guy is just, he's just unbelievable. He's so cool, so calm, great leader. Just love what he brings to the table.
I mean, Cincinnati's got to be just going crazy
they
out
are.
There.
They are.
You know, it's been a while.
It's been a long while, Bob. It's been 33 years, and everybody is having a lot of fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just the city's on fire right now, you know. Even whether win or lose, man, it's just, you know, it's just happy to have the city, you know, back alive again.
You know, so many people told me that I should be cheering for the Bengals. because we're both from Ohio,
right, me being
a Clevelander.
Right, right.
And, but I remember what you guys did to us a bunch of times, twice a year, and it's, I find it very difficult. But you know what? Your smiling face has brought me back over to the side.
We appreciate that.
If anyone's getting them over to the Bengals side, it's you.
All right.
No kidding.
We're good. Hey, you know what? But it's, you know, like I said, guys, it's been a long time coming. These guys need to relish this because, like you said, Bob, when I got there 33 years ago, we thought we had plenty of chances to get back because we were a young team, you know, just they are very young team. And you say, hey, we're going to have plenty of times to get back here. And it took 33 years to get back.
Yeah.
So you never know. So you
got
to relish in the time that you're there and take it all in and live it to the fullest, man,
because
it's, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. And as you know as well as I do, there's been guys who have never had a chance to play in the big game and play for years and years and years.
Why are you looking at me?
See, you had to go there.
I was in the drive and the fumble and all those other wonderful ones that were named. But all the good things that come from it, like
it
the commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't you do something about like deli meat? There was something.
I did a Geico.
Okay,
commercial.
Geico.
Yeah, that was Geico with the in the grocery store.
Right. Yep. Okay.
And then, year after the Super Bowl, me and my mom did an Oldsmobile commercial.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Icky, you bring up a really good point. I think that the fan, especially the casual fan, doesn't realize how very difficult it is to repeat.
Just
most recently, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the first team ever to bring back the starting line on both sides of the ball.
Right.
I mean, they got Tom Brady.
They're
going to repeat.
It again. Yep.
And look
and
what injuries did to them.
Yeah.
And a few little naked antics, whatever, on the field. And same thing with the 49ers.
Yeah, you get that deep in the playoffs, the healthiest team is going to win.
That's it.
You know,
and that's
the bottom line. Whoever's going to stay the healthiest at the end of the year.
About middle of November, you can tell the teams that are coming back with injuries.
Yeah.
And those that are losing people.
It's very easy to read. Oh, yeah.
At least who's going to make it into the playoffs.
No doubt.
Because we were talking yesterday, you're 100% guaranteed that you're going to be injured at some point in your career.
Yeah.
So you want it earlier in the season.
Right.
So
then
that you
later,
have your time. Yes.
Time to heal, yeah.
Time to
no
heal.
Doubt. No
okay,
doubt.
Okay, Icky, I'm superstitious, and I know you are too.
All right.
So tell us about the Big B.
What's that doing? I knew the Big B was coming, baby.
Let me tell you, I
went down to Vegas to watch the Bengals play in Vegas, and I get there Friday night, and they're having senior night at UNLV. It was my alma mater, so I happened to go to Reliance Stadium to watch my alma mater play.
Oh, that's so fun.
And then we went to the Terrence Crawford fight Saturday night, and so one of my cousins who was staying downtown, he said, "Cuz, they got this Big B down on Fremont Street, man. You need to go down there and see it. I know you want it." He says, "A big old B." I said, "Man, get out of here." So I said, "Okay." So we go down after the fight, and he said, "Come on, cuz, let's go before they close." So I get down there. I say, "Hey, man, show me that Bingo B." So he shows me the Bingo B. I said, "Oh, yeah, I got to have that. I got to have that." So I put the B on.
It's
huge. So I put the B on, and we gets to the Raiders game. So I'm at the Raiders game, and I'm yelling, "Who that?" And I'm getting wild with everybody out there. So I'm having a great time, and we end up winning the game. And so I get back home, and we play the 49ers and the Chargers. Well, I don't wear the B to either game. So I'm like, "Oh, man." So I said, "All right, I'm gonna put my B back on." So I put my B back on, and we've been winning ever since. So I don't even take it off. When we go to the game, I got my B on. I'm there rooting. It was at the AFC. It was at the wild card game. I had it at the wild card game. I took it to Tennessee. We had it in Tennessee. And then I took it down to Kansas City. And we had it in Kansas City, so the Big B is going to be live and pumping on Super Bowl Sunday.
Don't put it in your check luggage. You cannot afford to lose that B.
Oh, no.
I made sure
the B was right there.
And, you know, all the players are superstitious, but we are creatures of habit.
We are creatures of habit,
I had to put on my right shoe, then my left shoe, then tie my left shoe, and then tie my right shoe. And it was just the way to do it. And so you had routines that you felt you had to do, but this
had
is
all the time.
Obviously very, very cool.
Yeah, it is, man. And I just, you know, and I just love it. And then I, you know, my B is still in the plastic, So people were asking me, well, why you hadn't taken the plastic off yet? So I tell them, I say, look at the plastic. You see all that dirt on the plastic?
Yeah.
Now just think, if my plastic wasn't there, where that dirt going to be? It's going to be on my bee. I'm not trying to get my bee dirty, man. What's wrong with
you? Are you going to free up your bee for the Super Bowl, or are you sending the plastic?
Yeah. We win the Super Bowl. I got to tear the plastic off now, baby. We're ready to go.
Because you don't want to mess with it. It's working.
Oh, yeah, I was
with
working.
Yeah,
it's working
don't
with the plug.
Will it work next year, too, or are you going to will you mount it on a wall and retire?
I'll probably retire after that. Okay. If they win the Super Bowl, I'll probably retire.
So look for a new one,
When they win the Super Bowl, Icky, I got you.
Yes, when they win the
Super
Bowl.
They're going to do it.
No doubt. I'm glad. These guys are looking good and looking great, and I'm real happy about it.
And you know what? That bee is powerful, because if you're looking at that Tennessee game, and I just looked at the line, let's say I didn't see a minute of it, and I saw 9 sacks on Burrow, I'm like, oh, dang, Bengals didn't move
they
on.
They lost, yeah.
What?
Oh, man, yeah.
What?
You know,
amazing.
And the kid is just unbelievable how cool and calm he is under pressure, you know.
Yep.
And he was like that, and he was the most accurate quarterback under pressure coming out of college, you know, and it was unbelievable how this guy just stands in there.
And now that
he's got his legs back, he's able to get out of pressure, like the one he broke out of Chris Jones's arm.
Yep. Right.
And then ran out there.
Chris tried to swipe him at the legs,
and he jumped high step out of it and ran for the first down.
Yep.
You know, and that's the type of things that keep drives going, and that's what we need.
And that's not just physical. That's mental, too,
because he
feels the guy behind him. Oh, yeah. He's anticipating maybe going for a
seat. He's got peripheral vision out of this world.
But you know what? Would you tell him to slide more? Because he seems to put his shoulder down.
I would tell him to get out of bounds, slide more. Yeah, don't take those hits, because those hits wear and tear on you. And look how Lamar Jackson this year.
Yeah.
You know, taking all them hits towards the end of the season, he's banged up. You know, he can't go. And, you know, and I tell all quarterbacks now, you know, get out of bounds. Don't take them hits. You guys can't afford to take them hits because they're little guys.
Right.
And you're going up against guys that's 300 pounds. You're not going to win that battle, period.
Right.
So why would you even put yourself in that position?
And it was you guys, the running backs, that took beatings.
Yeah.
And, had limited careers for a lot of people.
No doubt.
Lifespan.
They say the average is 3.5 years.
Yes.
So it's short-lived.
Icky, what brings you to Radio Row?
Gridiron Greats. Gridiron Greats.
Tell us about it.
Foods, man. I was fortunate enough to have my knees done 7 years ago by Mike Dicker and the Gridiron Greats, man. And I'm very grateful to them for the things that they do for former players and older players who have been forgotten about, basically, you know. And so they do a great job of that. And then Rudolph Foods, the Pork Rinds Appreciation Day is the same day as the Super Bowl. You know, you can get signed up to win $5,000 in a year free of pork rinds.
I'm in.
Yeah, breakfast of champions.
PorkRindAppreciationDay.com, and you can get signed up for that. But it's great the things that they do with the Gridiron Grace to help former players.
I've seen a lot of the functions that Ditka did. I think tonight is
they got the cigar party.
The cigar party tonight.
Yeah.
Which
that's gonna be a nice time.
I'll be there eventually.
Yeah, me too.
I can't handle a whole cigar party.
You just have to look for the big B.
I'll
find it.
Oh yeah, I'll be right there.
You know what? I'll recognize him with a helmet on.
Right.
With a lot of helmet on, doesn't matter. I've seen him always.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
You're a great presence. Icky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. Much love and respect.
Yeah, you too, man.
You too.
Good to see you again.
Go Bengals. You too,
We'll be right back from Radio Row.
This is The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network. Presented by Progressive Insurance and by Freeall Deep Penetrating Oil. Live from Radio Row in L.A., here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
This show does need to be distributed by video as well, because coming out of that break, I had, well, of course, Bob Golic, but I have the gloss here, and she started dancing, and then Bob started dancing, and then it was back and forth and here and there, and you two shaking it up.
Oh, we were like a mirror image. We had it going on.
Exactly.
I didn't think you could keep up with her. But Golic moves.
Well, I was sitting, too. We were chair dancing. So, and that's a whole other thing. But
chair dancing? Tell me more.
Well, it's one of those things
where... I thought you were a lap dance kind of guy.
Hey, now.
Sorry,
before noon.
And it's gotten out of my price range.
Yeah, I
know. So it used to be cheaper. But, you know, when you're one of those guys that doesn't like to dance, but when sitting at the bar and the music's going, you're like,
you can't help
it. You start moving a little bit.
See, I'm gonna you like to dance. You still maybe you don't want to admit it. You're good, Bob. You got the rhythm.
I've got bad knees. That's it.
Well, now Iggy just told you. He's encouraging you to get some new knees.
Let me tell you something. He is one of the coolest guys you will ever
just joined. It's amazing.
Ever meet. Classy. Just fun, and what a wonderful ambassador for anything.
Yes.
For anything he would step in. He's got that, you know, he used to beat the crap out of me on the field, and, well, I beat the crap out of him, too.
Yeah.
On the street. But he did encourage you to change out your knees, right, to get a replacement?
Yep. He told me that, because right now I'm kind of living on that idea that I have all my joints. When I get together with my buddies, they're like, hey, would you get, I got my hips done, I got my shoulders done. And I always feel this. Well, I'm still whole.
You're the OG, the original.
I'm the original.
You've got it
I'm
all.
The original Golic.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, but
you have to call him the OG. I think
the OG. But you know what? He said something. He said something. He goes the night. He goes immediately after the surgery. He goes, I felt the ache was gone. The surgical pain was there, but the ache was gone, and I know exactly what he's talking about. So he may have put me over the edge on getting
it done. On the edge. Well, 14-year career, you're entitled to the knees.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Great to have Icky here, and we will come right back. We're at Radio Row, broadcasting live. This is Sports Map Radio Network.